easily solve, we chart known facts, apply logical causes to gain the effects present. It's quite scientific, Bree explained.
And so geeky. I'd rather be butting heads with the assholes who took Riles here.
Riley, only my brothers are stupid enough to call me Riles, and they only get by with it because they're bigger and meaner than me.
The little blonde looked Addie up and down.
You, I can probably take. So, stick with Riley.
Mary chuckled. Dylan's sister was awesome. She fit perfectly with the group, her friends. They'd swooped in the moment she'd arrived at the ranch.
Okay, let's do this whiteboarding thing, but kick-ass style, not the geeky way, okay?
Riley asked.
I'll grab the booze and mixers. What do you need?
Well, a whiteboard and dry erase markers should work,
Bree replied. This is way more involved. Colored string and magnetic pins or push pins, post-it notes, tape. Vi started listing things on the notepad she always carried.
Okay, follow me. Stay quiet, though.
Riley charged out of the compound quarters they'd taken over and down the hall. She shoved through an exit they'd never taken and crouched low as they headed down a sidewalk with a low wall along both sides. Bree and Rhea matched the woman's stance. Addie's gaze darted around nervously when they left the building. Vi chewed on her lower lip. Mary ignored the unease in her belly. Leaving the compound quarters was probably not a good idea. But Riley entered the operations building by keying in a code. Mary didn't think the woman had access, which meant she'd somehow learned one of the brothers' codes.
Wouldn't that make Dylan and his brothers happy? She chuckled. Riley was awesome.
They passed the operational theater and went into a long, winding corridor. Riley opened the door on the far left. Motion-activated overhead lights flickered on when they entered.
Holy shit, Bree whispered. Wow,
Rhea commented.
Perfect,
Vi whispered.
Fuck, they're never gonna leave,
Addie growled. How do you know about this?
I may have looked around a bit. Call it little sister curiosity,
Riley shrugged.
It took a few tests on the keypad. I'm a bit ashamed my birth date wasn't the first set of numbers I tried, but that seemed a bit egotistical, you know?
One of your brothers, who has access to everything at the arsenal, is using your birth date as their passcode?
Mary asked.
Geez, talk about a stupid move. First thing tomorrow, she and Vi were overhauling their security protocols for their own good. She had to admit, the room was perfect in every conceivable way. All four walls were clear. Interactive interfaces on two of them. Markers, magnetic pegs, and every possible supply were in bins along the far wall. The table in the middle of the room was a standing style with a computerized interface inside glass. Top of the line.
Computer, we'll need Hera, Vi commented. On it, Rhea said.
Now, geeks, stay here where you're secure. I'll get Hera and the supplies and help Riley with the booze. If I'm sitting through another of these whiteboarding sessions, I'm gonna get loaded.
Addie looked around. If any of you so much as crack that door open, your ass is mine. Got it?
Bree, Rhea, and Vi nodded, their saucer-eyed expression noting they wouldn't move at all.
Mary smirked, but nodded. Addie had a unique intimidation factor with them, one which didn't quite work as well on her.
I mean it, Mary. This shit is intense, and we shouldn't have left the quarters. You know that.
Addie explained. I'm not going anywhere. I want answers. You laugh at the whiteboard method, but it's never failed us.
Hurry back. Bring snacks.
She waited until Addie and Riley were gone before she turned her focus to the walls of available space and her three cohorts. They'd solved many problems with way less than what the room offered. The interactive interface would let them sync Hera's capabilities with the data points of the whiteboard, thereby providing critical decision-making data real-time. This was perfect. And the perfect test for the new feature she'd added to Hera a few months ago, one they'd yet to test. The gleam in Vi's gaze signaled her BFF had thought the same thing. Okay, girls, let's get to work.
I don't understand. This always works.
Bree tumbled onto the blow-up mattress and took a hefty swig of her rum runner.
Why didn't it work?
For the 10th time, it did, Addie said, her hands waving at the filled walls. Every single data point of this foobar shit leads there, to that one common point.
But who is it? Rhea asked. We've yet to establish an identity. That's beyond strange.
It is, Vi admitted, her gaze swept to Mary. We're missing something.
All this info is the missions you've assisted with? The Hive operatives you've worked and interacted with, right?
Riley asked.
Yes, this is everything,
Mary admitted.
No, it's everything from when you started at Hive and only at Hive. Your lives before then and outside of work aren't even represented anywhere. I'm not a geek, and I'm totally loaded. But that seems like a lot of stuff missing.
Riley grabbed the full blender of Rum Runner.
Anyone else want a refill?
She's right. This is only one dimension. We need them all. The answer must be on another plane. Rhea whispered as she rose.
We need them all.
Thank fuck neither of you have an active sex life, or we'd never leave this room.
Addie muttered.
We need it all?
As in all of us?
We don't know how far back or deep this is,
Bree reasoned.
That means we all need to be represented up there, all the way back. Just because this is focused around Mary doesn't mean she's where it started.
Fuck. Addie took another drink.
Okay, we'll all take a color. Make three lists on your data pads. Family and close associations up to the point we met at MIT. Dates, names, anything you can remember to help CJ. List two will be all friends, interest groups, activities, enemies, and perceived threats. Again, names, dates, anything you can give Hera.
Mary sighed heavily as she looked around the room. Addie was right. They'd be here forever.
And the last is love interests. Names, dates, how it ended. Include anyone, even if it wasn't a romantic relationship. This could be a whack job stalker for all we know.
The girls grabbed colors as Vi plugged in Hera. She'd try and run point on this, even though they both knew it needed to be Mary. While Vi was great at background checks, Mary would have more time and was better at digging. Mary chose orange for her color and made quick work of her lists. She sat beside Vi and motioned for her friend to turn over Hera.
I'll take over. Are you sure? I can.
I'm already done, more or less. I've got to look up a couple things and do a deeper background on Dean Strickland. Then I'll be free to start diving into everything.
Mary, talk to me. I know this is a lot to process and you've been so quiet. I'm worried.
Vi whispered.
They are too, you know.
I'm fine. There's nothing to worry about. We're safe. Dylan and his brothers were a good choice. They've kept us secured.
That's not what I mean.
I know what you mean, Vi. I can't go there. Not now.
Will you ever?
Seriously, Mary.
You can't shove this into wherever you put shit when it goes down and expect it to go away.
You were kidnapped. Tortured.
Her voice softened.
They hurt you.
Yeah, they did. Before tonight, before they had the balls to scoop Riley up to get me back, I was hurt and scared. I cowered, exactly like the asshole wanted, whoever he is.
Driggs isn't behind this. I know that now.
He doesn't have the balls to go against the Arsenal. She typed in her password and activated Hera. Emotion clogged her throat, but she forced the words out.
He targeted me, made me think they had you.
Whoever this is, it's personal and deep.
Someone we all know,
Vi replied.
Not necessarily, but there's history. As in, deep enough for him to know my background made me the weak link. The one who'd do what they wanted. I can't explain why, but I think they wanted me contacting the Arsenal.
This sick bastard wanted me, running to them to get you out.
And a few missions aside, there's only one strong connection between Hive and the Arsenal.
Peter, Vi whispered.
You.
She looked around nervously.
You think this is about his murder?
It's related. Has to be. Whatever clue we find with this exercise is going to be in Addie's timeline.
Hurting me cuts her off at the knees.
Hell, she's practically surrendered Hive entirely.
Driggs is out of the picture, as good as dead when Graves tracks him down.
Someone wins if she walks away. This isn't about me or you. It's about all of us.
Hera, our strength as a cohesive unit.
You're the glue. You keep Addie connected to us. You're our glue. They break you, they get us all.
Vi's eyes widened.
It worked. We're all together. We haven't taken that risk since
we built Hera.
We were led here, to the Arsenal for a reason. They herded us like cattle and used me to do it.
Mary pounded on the keyboard. I won't let this bastard hurt the only good thing I have going for me.
Mary, we're okay. We're safe.
Vi squeezed her hand.
It's okay to let someone else lead the charge, you know. I'm so used to it being you and me at the helm, steering the intelligence gathering. I forgot we're not alone in this. I know a certain handsome cowboy turned kick-ass operative who'd gladly take over. Let's go get him. Have them help us. If they're connected somehow, they need to be on the board.
They will be.
After she'd processed the facts, prepared herself for their part in whatever this roller coaster was,
I played right into this bastard's hands, Vi. I replay that night in my head 1,000 times. The desperation and terror.
I just knew they had you. I can still hear your screams.
Mary tensed when Vi wrapped her arms around her. Tears burned her eyes.
I'm so sorry,
her friend whispered.
I'm glad you weren't there. I'm glad they didn't get you.
I wish I'd been there with you.
Tears tumbled down Vi's cheeks.
Don't ever say that.
Mary blinked back the tears.
It's done. And I'm out. Free. Now we can make them pay.
Then we better get busy. Those badass brothers aren't going to let us get by with this for long. Let's get as far down the trail as we can before we're drowning in testosterone.
Vi stood up.
I'll get my line into the system, then work with Addie.
Excellent. They had a plan, a list of things to accomplish. The list alone would keep Mary's mind off the dark trail she'd headed down just now. She wouldn't breathe life into that ghost, not yet. One by one, her friends finished their lists and passed out, trusting her with the lives they'd spilled out to help sort the mess, the chaos threatening everyone. Addie was the only one still awake, still making lists. The woman was a fierce operative, one who did anything necessary in the field. That left long lists of potentials. Mary admired her ability to cage the ghosts of the ops she'd kicked ass on. She'd never failed a mission. So much like her older brother, it was a little freaky. Addie sat and offered the last list, longer than Mary expected. Then again, she had an active personal life. Mary flipped through the list, and her gut sank into her shoes. Addie?
Don't. Vi doesn't need to see that shit unless there's a reason, okay? I do what I've got to do. Compartmentalize and move on. That's how we survive.
She nodded and got to work as Addie stretched out on the inflatable mattress beside Vi. Sooner or later, she'd have to talk to them about Peter. Her fingers ached. Though she could type a little with her bum one, the primary work was one-handed. Fortunately, the system scanned and transcribed most of the lists, leaving much less for me to manually key. She pushed a few more buttons, establishing the parameters, and let Hera handle the rest. Weariness dragged her eyelids shut. Head against the back of the leather chair, she rested and hoped the system she and Vi designed would find the answer to who wanted her so badly and why. Dylan entered the situation room and stepped over Rhea, then Bree. Mary had her head on her hand on the other side of the table. A beep registered from the computer, but none of the women stirred.
"What the hell?"
Marshall muttered as he entered.
"Gage tracked them down a couple hours ago, found them like this,"
he replied.
"No clue what all this is."
All this was four walls of data strung about the room in a tapestry of color, handwriting, images, and computerized data uploaded to the overheads. He tracked the logical progression of bullet-pointed magnetic markers around the room. Names, dates, pictures. Marshall followed him as they worked their way around the room, delving into the private lives of the women under their protection. Every facet of their lives was there. He couldn't imagine how long they'd been at it, how complicated the analysis had been. Mary needed rest, not intense investigative work into her friends' personal lives. But the attack on Riley sent a message. Whoever this asshole was knew they were here. Dylan had been right. Their presence at the arsenal was intentional, for some reason only known to the madman after Mary. The blue ink covered the walls, so vast there was almost not enough room. Addie had been a very busy woman, a phenomenal operative.
"She's good. Her brother taught her,"
Marshall commented. The last wall held more questions than answers. Names in three colors with the same image beside each. Peter's picture and an autopsy report flashed above them.
"Damn,"
he mumbled.
"This isn't good."
"No, it's not," Mary whispered as she approached. "I took it as far as I could, but we need data. You knew Peter, Marshall. I'm hoping you can help guide some of the work into his background. Addie won't remember much from when he was in the service. It's someone in his past behind all of this."
"And this guy?"
Dylan pointed at the picture with three names.
"Who's he?"
"A pawn, a plant, a bastard. She looked away. I knew him as Dean Strickland. Before that, he was Roger Ramsey with Addy and Dylan Wynn with Vi. Neither of them let him get very close. I was the one he worked the longest.
To what end?
Marshall asked.
I'm not sure yet. I suspect he wanted an in with Bree and Rhea, either for the power source or the weaponization components, maybe both.
Mary crossed her arms and shrank away.
The timing of everything. I should have seen it before.
Seen what?
Dylan prodded.
I got Peter killed,
she whispered. Pain filled her voice as she leaned against him. He pulled her close, wrapping his arms around her soft curves. Chapter 13.
Put me down! The longer Dylan ignored Mary, the more focused she became on the anger seeping into her grief, guilt. He'd taken an exit from the building she hadn't noticed earlier and hoofed it across the grass and straight toward what she thought of as the barracks building.
Everyone will be waking up soon. We have things to review, discuss. I'll need you and your brothers there so we can figure out the rest. You're involved somehow.
But she'd started it all.
You're going to get a few hours of sleep. Everything will wait until you're better rested,
he replied, voice husky in her ear.
We both need a few hours.
Both? Mary curled her toes and let the word do its magic. In a pretend world, they'd catch the sleep together. He entered a room she didn't recognize. Surprise kept her silent a moment as they entered. Clean, somewhat barren, but it smelled like Dylan. Where are we?
My room. Like I said, we need a few hours rest, and I'm not letting you out of my sight. The moment I do, you'll be back in that room and on the computer.
He set her on the bed and touched her cast.
Did you have clearance to type? You're hurting, aren't you? I'll call Logan, see if there's painkillers you can take.
How did you know it was bothering me? His finger ran across her forehead, so soft she thought she'd imagined it at first.
You get lines here and here.
Wrinkles, great. All she needed now was a dozen cats and a big shoe to live in, and she was set for spinsterdom.
Oh,
it's cute.
He cupped her face, leaned down, and kissed her forehead.
This is the calm I need, Mary. It's time we both step back, rest.
Sensation fanned through her, warmth and comfort, desire and hunger. She reached for him, deepened the contact, daring a sweep of her tongue across his lips. Dylan growled and held her head more firmly. The kiss turned carnal, a clash of tongues, a battle for control. He plundered. Mary clung to him as he guided her backward on the bed. His weight settled against her, pinning her to the mattress. A moan escaped her as the kiss continued, softening as he teased her into taking the lead a moment. Her pulse moved in a hastened tempo, breathing labored. She broke contact and inhaled. What was she doing? She was literally out of breath from a kiss with Dylan Mason. Jesus. She'd stooped to a new low. He carried her to a bed, intent to make her rest, and she'd damn near molested him.
Sorry. Sorry, sorry.
The apologies rolled through her as the arousal drowned in the toxic pool of guilt from earlier, now fueled by the embarrassment of her jumping Dylan. Sure, he'd
technically started the kiss, but it'd been one of those people give to relatives in some families, right? She dared a peek up at him and noted the fiery heat in his green gaze. He stroked her face just beneath her right eye. Okay, no. It wasn't a family sort of kiss. At least, she hadn't read the intent wrong. She just latched on and attacked like a starving vampire at a blood bank. All his other kisses had been cautious, slow, gentle. Did guys kiss women they wanted like that? God, this wasn't one of those mercy fucks she'd heard about, was it? Mercy kissing? Yep. She could almost imagine it. Keep the ugly, mousy one controlled, with a few chaste pecks here and there. If she face molests you, then, well, take one for the team, man. Ugh. She was losing her damn mind. Huh. The shrink she was supposed to see in a few hours would probably lock her away in a padded room, complete with one of the white jackets with the shiny buckles in the back.
You're exhausted, sweetheart. Whatever's going through your head has no place there.
He stooped down and ran his mouth across hers. Tension coiled in her muscles as she fisted her hands in her lap and willed herself not to overreact. He was being nice. This wasn't what she thought it was. He'd never be interested in someone like her.
Talk to me, Mary. What happened just now?
He kissed her throat.
You don't want to kiss me?
I'm not your type, she argued. I shouldn't have done that. I practically molested you.
You can molest me whenever you want.
His gaze settled on her, his face so close she felt his breath against her cheek.
We've kissed before. I want more than kisses when you're ready. This isn't about what you heard me tell Riles, is it?
She latched onto him, running her hand along his stubbly jaw. You're so handsome. So out of my league.
Someone did a number on you, Angel. You're the one out of my league. And when this mess is over and we don't have people coming at us trying to hurt you, I'm going to lock you up in here and make it my personal mission to make you see how beautiful you are. Treasured.
He feathered a kiss across her mouth.
Kiss me, Mary. Relax and trust me.
The contact ceased, but he remained close, right there, in her face, waiting patiently.
This is nuts. Kiss me, Mary. I'll take control back after you do. Is that what you want?
I'm not very good at this sort of thing, Dylan. Why are you making me take the lead? Can't you just...
I could, but I don't like how you apologized for taking what you wanted from me earlier. You wanted the kiss deeper, more intense, and you let me know. Then you backed off and started apologizing.
His thumb ran across her lips.
I'm not okay with you regretting anything we do. I figure if you initiate the kissing a few times, you'll start to see you're not out of my league. Whatever happens between you and me, you're safe. Always.
Mary closed her eyes and gave the arousal flaring through her free rein. She clutched his face with her good hand and kissed him softly. A rumble rose from him. The vibrations quickened her pulse as she nibbled on his plump lower lip, then licked. Dylan repeated the action on her, a playful gleam in his gaze as it settled on her.
Come here, sweetheart. Straddle me.
No, I can't. She shook her head, arousal pulled between her legs.
I'm too heavy.
I carried you all the way here and didn't even break a sweat. You really think you're too heavy to straddle me?
His gaze narrowed.
We'll be chatting about that real soon. Right now, though, I want you rested so we can't play long. Come here, sweetheart.
Mary chewed her lower lip as he guided her into a tense straddle across his lap. He drew her closer. Her mound rubbed the prominent bulge in his jeans deliciously. The position left her looking down at him, just enough for the arousal from before to deepen. Sex hadn't ever been a playful, adventurous event for her. It'd been boring at best, a chore, something she did to appease whoever she dated. Not that there had been many. Dean had been the longest. What a joke that turned out to be. He hadn't hung around because she'd been a good lover, a good girlfriend. No, he'd been working her. So stupid.
Where did you go?
He asked. Nowhere important, she responded. His jaw twitched beneath her hand. He didn't believe her, but didn't comment. Warmth spread through her as she leaned in and swept her mouth along his again. Kissing Dylan Mason deserved to be an Olympic event. The man was sex in jeans and knew how to draw out her desire, the carnal need she'd kept buried too long. His hands wandered down her arms, up her back as he deepened the kiss. She kept expecting him to take full command, but he left her in charge. With a firm nudge every now and then, soft, languid kisses became Viking-worthy plunges, duels that left her breathless and trembling. She rubbed herself against him and urged him to touch, grab, do something more than kiss. She reached for his shirt. He captured her hand easily, regret and raw need reflected in his gaze.
You get those sweet lips on me anywhere else, and we're not coming out of here for a couple days, sweetheart. Come on, let's get settled before I forget about being a gentleman.
Mary was okay with him not being a gentleman. Really, really okay. She licked her lips, which earned her a long, low rumble from him as his gaze tracked her movement. Wow. Dylan rose from the bed and rifled through a dresser across the room a moment.
Bathroom's right there. Take your time. Change into this. We buy toothbrushes in bulk, so there should be packaged ones under the sink. I know you like those gorgeous teeth brushed.
He smirked at her. Fiery heat coursed up her cheeks. She wasn't ever going to live the toothbrush comment down, but she didn't mind the teasing. Not from Dylan. Mary took the shirt he held out. He wanted her to wear it to sleep in. Her pulse quickened. Her belly started an awkward lambada of some sort.
What's wrong, sweetheart?
Nothing, she whispered. No way was she admitting. She'd never worn a man's shirt before. Ever. Dean hadn't ever stayed the night. If she had a normal sex life before she met him, she probably would have figured out that was a huge warning bell. If a man can't stay the night, he shouldn't be in your bed. She should write a manual for awkward, ugly, mousy women like her. Give them a leg up the next time they took on trying to secure a man. Mary looked down at the shirt she clenched in her hand. What if it didn't fit? Mary wasn't a tiny girl like Rhea. She was lumpy, with big boobs. God, what if it's like a favorite shirt and you stretch it? He closed the distance, pressing against her until every breath she dragged in smelled like him.
You're tense again.
I'm okay to go back to my quarters, you know.
I know, but I want you here, where I can see you. Make sure you rest.
You're crazy. I'm not letting you sleep on the floor like my guard dog.
Good, because I had no intention of sleeping on the floor.
His gaze turned molten. Her gaze flew to the bed. She gulped.
I've never slept with a man before. Slept, I mean.
God, you're pathetic. Why the hell did you admit that? His lips upturned into a panty-melting grin.
He's laughing at you.
Gotta admit it, sweetheart. I'm gonna like being the first to hold you in my arms all night.
God, he's a snuggler. Mary had always wondered what a snuggler would be like.
Go change.
Fine.
Mary huffed and headed to the bathroom before she erred on the side of smart and bolted from the room. The man was certifiable, hauling her fat ass around, kissing on her, making her wear his shirt. Butterflies morphed into buzzards in her belly as she went about her business in the bathroom, which ended with her in his shirt. Tears burned her gaze. She'd always wanted to be one of those girls, the ones whose men didn't mind if a couple shirts went missing here and there. It wasn't overly loose and pulled around her knees like in those ridiculous movies where the women were toothpick-sized. The material hugged her large breasts, then hung somewhat loosely around the rest of her, just long enough to hide most of her panties. A soft knock on the door startled her.
Sorry, I'm almost out.
Forgot shorts, sweetheart. Open up a bit and I'll slip them in.
Shorts?
Her voice cracked.
Not going to make you sleep in your underwear, sweetheart. Open up so I can get you to sleep.
The door squeaked open. Dylan's gaze swept across her, molten and intense enough to make her insides burn with a new rush of arousal. He held out a pair of gray shorts.
Here you go, Mary.
While she loved her name on his lips, she adored the random sweethearts she'd somehow started earning. She forced a smile and took the shorts with a soft thanks.
The door shut, and the riotous emotions in her escaped in a scream-worthy, holy shit moment.
Fortunately, she didn't yell. She removed her panties and slid the shorts on.
Please don't let them be too small.
The material was soft, smelled like freshly laundered woods. She slipped the shorts on after removing her panties and tried to ignore the way they hugged her hips. She had big hips, always had. Men liked curves, right?
Ugh, it didn't matter.
Dylan wanted rest. She needed sleep. Maybe the nightmares would stay away if she wasn't alone with her thoughts. She hadn't slept well in a while, not since. Mary cut the thought off and wandered into the other room. His gaze roamed her appreciatively. Tingles settled beneath her skin, traveling from her hardening nipples to pull between her legs. Dylan was the sort of man who made a woman feel appreciated, and she couldn't help but feel that way beneath the intense heat in his gaze.
Come on, you're exhausted. Let's get to bed.
He'd stripped off his shirt and was walking around in a pair of loose-fitting gray shorts. Her mouth dried as he yanked back the covers of the full-sized bed and motioned for her to climb in on the side farthest from the door.
You're nervous.
He froze and looked at her.
Damn. I'm an idiot, Mary. I never thought about...
Thought about what?
The thought ping-ponged in her brain a while before she realized where he'd gone.
No, it's not that. I haven't ever slept in a bed with a guy before. What if I snore or drool? I'm not scared to be here with you, honestly.
Don't lie to me, Mary. I can handle hearing the truth. What you went through, no woman should ever be subjected to that, ever.
He settled a hand on her shoulder.
I don't ever want to make you feel uneasy or push. I can't deny the attraction, but I'm not pushing, I swear.
She gulped down the nervousness crawling up her throat.
I haven't slept good since I went to the new room. I like you being near when I'm asleep. I feel safe, protected. I slept better in the hospital room with you in the chair than I have since I've been here.
His gaze warmed. He rubbed her arm.
Then let's get to bed, sweetheart.
Dylan slid from beneath the gorgeous woman hugging him close and hoped she'd keep sleeping. He'd roused her from a nightmare a couple times the past several hours. Each time, she woke with a teary gasp, but relaxed and went right back to sleep. He should have known she wasn't sleeping well. Had Logan checked on her? Where the fuck was the counselor or head shrink they'd hired? He had more questions than answers and a gut full of anger. Someone would pay for making her go through this. She was shy, downright skittish, like a newborn kitten in a kennel of barking dogs. And the kisses. At first, he'd blame her kidnapping for the hesitancy, the unease laced with a hint of fear in her slight touches. Someone messed with her head before the kidnapping. He needed to corral his natural dominance and let her steer the direction their relationship headed. Fuck if he'd thought he'd be thinking along those lines, not after what Haley did. The knock on the door returned, harder than the first time. Whoever it wasn't going away. Dylan snagged his gun, just in case, and cracked the door. Marshall glared at him from the other side. He maneuvered into the hall, keeping the door slightly ajar so he could hear Mary if she awoke or had another nightmare.
If you're done playing house, I've got a room full of pissed off women wanting more than one of your heads on a platter.
Marshall commented.
Mary's sleeping. They can wait.
That's all you've got to say. She's sleeping. In your bed.
Yes, she is. Hasn't had a decent night's sleep since we moved her in with her friends. The place is an unknown, and I've had my head up my ass so far I didn't see it. She's resting. I decide when she's ready to keep going.
You know better than go down this road.
Marshall crossed his arms.
It's a slippery slope, especially with what she went through.
How about you stay out of my business and tell me what you got from the walls?
Vi's still making sense of what Mary did, but the girls are pretty sure she suspects someone put a plant in Warrior's path, then herded Mary and them here, where they could cherry-pick whoever it is they're after. Basically, what we'd figured out. But they've got evidence supporting the theories now, except for who the plant is.
I'm not good with them using our program, our compound, to corner women.
None of us are. Nolan's pulled all the records on everyone at the compound. Vi's feeding them into the computer. Guys are gathered in the room containing the women. Though Addie's making quick work of kicking their ass.
Marshall chuckled.
On second thought, take your time.
We should have Cord vet her record, recruit her. Good female operatives are rare.
Yeah, until we do. I've assigned Jesse and Nolan to work with her. Dallas is with you on Mary. The rest of us will keep Vi and the other two secure.
I'm good with Mary. Put Dallas on babysitting duty with the others.
You can't keep her secure 24/7.
Fine. Then give me Gage or Nolan.
Dylan ordered.
We've got enough shit simmering without Dallas and I circling one another.
You're the only one circling. He tapped out on this back when it went down. You two work it out, or I will.
Marshall turned and charged down the hall. Son of a bitch. Dylan shut the door and slid in behind Mary. She grabbed his arm when he looped it around her and squeezed her hand.
You're awake,
he whispered.
Sorry, we were loud.
Everything okay?
Yeah.
You were angry. Why don't you want Dallas helping?
He's better off helping the others. I can keep you safe.
He replied. I know. It's just you mentioned bringing in the others. Sounded like you were okay with everyone but him. He's your brother.
Her voice softened.
I'm sorry. Forget I asked. It's none of my business.
Something went down a while back. Not his fault, not mine. We were both played against one another. Things got ugly before we realized what was happening.
A woman? She guessed. Haley?
Yeah, Haley. Riley's been talking.
Damn small towns and their idle gossip. Meddling sisters were even worse.
It doesn't matter. We'll work it out.
It wasn't Riley, but I heard things. Noticed the tension between you two. And I've met Haley, of course.
She touched the hand at her waist.
I'm sorry she got between you two. It shouldn't ever be like that.
Leave it alone, sweetheart. We'll work it out, okay?
Okay. I just can't help but think the thing with Dean is similar. I didn't want him meeting Vi and the other girls. I'm the mousy, average one, and the guys were always drawn to one of them. When he showed interest in me, I safeguarded him, tucked him close, and didn't let them know. The thing with you and Dallas isn't the same, but it kind of is. I mean, it's all about not trusting each other and not communicating, right? Mary wasn't mousy or average, not to him. The damn word came from what the bastards who'd taken Riley said. It was stuck in her brain, burned there by whatever crap someone fed her before all this mess started. Probably a parent. She'd had a shaky upbringing from what little was in her file.
Sleep, sweetheart.
Dylan listened to her quiet breaths slip into the steady rhythm of before. Maybe what went down between him and Dallas was closer to her handling of Dean with the girls than he first realized. Neither had trusted the other. He hadn't explained anything. Dallas hadn't either. Dylan fed off the insecurity Haley's actions created in him. No, they simmered there all along. Small town life. Five brothers. Competition had been tough for love interests. He'd always taken the wingman position. That's what the middle brother did. Then he hooked up with Haley. Things moved in the right direction. He'd always been shy with women, more circumspect than his brothers. Lighten up, Dill. You can't blame me for having a little fun. It's not a big deal. It's not like I'm marrying him. See, your ring's still here. Right where you put it, baby.
He'd been too shell-shocked to see anything beyond her 1,000-watt smile burning a hole in his heart, his soul. Thinking back to the night he'd come home from the service and found them together in his bed. His gut burned. He choked back the anger roiling through him in a deep rumble. Dallas, his face, confused, shocked, hurt. Jesus. Big Brother Marshall was right, as always. Enough time had passed. They needed to sort their house before someone showed up and knocked it down. Whether they liked it or not,
The arsenal was balls deep in Mary's mess. No, this wasn't her crap. It had the stench of Hive all over it. Chapter 14. Even though all the pieces of the Who the Hell is Dean puzzle had more or less been put together, Marshall insisted they go over everything again, just to make sure nothing had been overlooked. Listening to the details again soured Mary's stomach.
So this guy we're calling Dean tried to hook up with Addie, then wormed his way into a few dates with Vi, and ultimately landed out with Mary. And no one figured it out until last night?
Cord typed on the laptop he'd brought in.
And I thought girls shared everything.
Mary bit her tongue. First off, I was out of the country on an op when I met the shithead. I don't talk about what happens on those, ever. And I never talk about shitty lays. Addie shoved the loaded cartridge back in the gun she'd been cleaning. Though her voice was calm, Mary recognized the tell. She always cleaned guns when she was pissed. She was one step from firing off a few rounds into whoever pissed her off next. Right now, Cord was in the number one position.
My girls feel deep. They all got worked over by assholes with more brawn than brains while in college. By the time we met up, they were hermits, cowering from everyone to keep those big hearts of theirs from getting cut open. I got real protective.
Now, they keep interest from men as pretty and together as shitheads seem to themselves, because I geld first and question later where they're concerned.
Yep, she was pissed.
Addie set her massive knife on the table.
Are you done being a dick, or do you need a demonstration? It's been a while, and the blade's a bit dull, but I'd get through it easy enough. I'm thinking you'd make a great eunuch.
Ouch,
Gage commented as Nolan whistled. Marshall cursed. Jesse stood and left the room. Cord paled.
Not cool, Addie. You want to call me on my shit? Go for it.
Cord rose.
I'll get him. Keep going. I need a timeout anyway.
He stormed from the room. Mary's friend gave her a what the hell look. But she couldn't ignore the tension in the air any longer. The other brothers were bombs ticking.
I'm sorry, Jesse. She didn't know.
Mary whispered into the awkward silence.
None of them knew. I did the background, read all your files. I never share what I learn unless it's pertinent to the discussion. The fact an excellent soldier survived an IED that nasty deserved whatever discretion I could give.
Mary had heard her friend issue the threat 100 times over the past few years. There was no real animosity in it. And she never would have made the angry comment if she'd known about Jesse's injury. The one he wouldn't discuss with anyone, even his brothers. His file had been flagged with his request for privacy.
I didn't know what,
Addie demanded, her face redder than the hair on her head. Mary knew when she'd connected her threat with the apology. Addie paled.
No.
The two men returned. Addie was up and wrapped around Jesse before anyone realized her intent. Cord grabbed her about the waist, but she was latched on tight and furiously whispering something in the man's ear. Whatever it was, softened his face. He wrapped an arm around her and shook his head at his brother. Tears ran from the woman's face. Shock poured through Mary. She'd never seen her cry.
Okay, let's get this done. Everything's good?
Jesse commented as he sat and dragged Addie into a chair.
The women didn't know he'd work them. What was the objective?
Names, specifically. Bree or Rhea. Probably both. That's something we established fairly early on, because it's the only objective that makes sense. Vi tapped a few keys. Then we added in everything you all could give us from the times some of you worked with Peter. That's when things started smelling fishy.
Why would anyone want a power source? It's gotta be about Rhea and her weapon stuff. That makes sense.
Bree put her forehead in her palm and closed her eyes. Not to rain on your parade, friend, but your power source is unique. One bad guys could use to arm any number of things, run secret compounds, you name it. It's entirely off-radar, self-sustained, 100 times more powerful than anything else, and fits into a cell phone case. Do I need to continue? Vi asked.
We're assuming they want you both. Hell, all of you.
Nolan folded his arms.
What's fishy?
Mary tracked Dean down using Hera. Where he is, who he's pretending to be, phone numbers, that sort of thing. Vi clicked another couple of buttons. And then she sort of hacked into your databases, phone records, that sort of thing.
Yeah, when this is over, we're having a long talk about passwords and numerical codes. Using Riley's birthday is not a good idea, guys.
Mary added.
Which of you idiots is doing that?
Cord asked. Dallas, Nolan, and Jesse held their hands up. Marshall and Dylan shook their heads. Gage chuckled.
Someone in your compound is making a lot of calls to a burner I've tracked down to Dean. It isn't Dean's, though. It's a number he's calling.
You tracked down the asshole, hacked all of his stuff, including his phone, and you identified someone here calling the same number.
Marshall leaned back in his chair and stared up at the ceiling.
Yes and no. We know someone is calling the number from here, but not who. You have no surveillance on operations, and the call is originating from one of the rest areas.
Mary glanced at Marshall and Dylan.
We have enough equipment to overhaul security here. If you give us the go-ahead,
we'll get the cameras up and the entire compound, including your mom's house and all the surrounding grounds, wired and monitored by Hera.
Then we'll know who it is.
Or they'll bolt. Seeing cameras go up will likely make them nervous. That's probably why the move was made on Riley,
Dallas said.
Makes sense.